Hi, welcome to the Photo Show. It's me, Ewan Rankin, here to deliver all the news, all the gear, and your questions get answered on our regular show once every week, which we've actually done every week for the last 3 weeks. Isn't that amazing? Incredible. Unheard of, as I might say. Yeah, well, okay. Well, we're getting there. We're getting there. Keep with us. Keep with us because we are going to do loads more of these. We're definitely on for one next Friday as well, live if you want to come and watch. So 2 o'clock next Friday afternoon, we'll be live too. Right, so let's kick it off. Let's not mess around. Let's get into it. First thing to consider then is the news. The Fancy Photo League, yes, it's doing rather well. We're really rather chuffed with it. The responses have been great. We've added a few extra people on for this month. You've still got time if you want to enter for February. Self is going. The point I would point out though is I've had a few questions from people. Self is not selfie. So if anyone submits a selfie, they'll be getting a kick in, I'm afraid, from the judges. Self is about self. Yeah, but you can't show a picture of yourself because you're not allowed to. That's the thing that gets the old grey matter moving. A few comments have been made in the Slack room as well about this month's topic and said that it's really got the old grey matter ticking, which is what it's supposed to do. And people are chuffed about it. They like the challenge. So stick with it. And if you can, join in and have some fun and have a go at joining us in the Photo League. The next thing then is this. This is a camera, believe it or not. And it's a camera that's made out of 32,000 drinking straws. Over several years, there's been two chaps who've had a go. They're Michael Farrell and Cliff Haynes. And they've had a go at creating a camera using drinking straws. They started off with 10-inch black drinking straws. And then they started to mess around with substances and things like that and found out that layering corrugated plastic actually made a big difference to the straws. And that's it. They started taking pictures with it. And here's some of the pictures. There's another version of the one that they've done as well, but here's some of the pictures. So I'm guessing that's one of their first because it's not exactly the best thing. But it's interesting that you get the honeycomb effect from the straws. That was one of their first ones as well, I think. That's a still life. And there's some merits to that. I quite like the textures on it, that's for sure, even if it's actually a pretty horrible grainy image. But a lot of the dithering around the outside of the flowers and the out of focus elements are pretty good. There's no mention about how they focused it or what the depth of field control was or anything like that. That's going to be quite interesting to look at. There's a picture, a portrait of a woman who the nose appears to be very much in focus, but the rest then starts to dither up very quickly. I thought it was quite interesting. Well done, chaps. I wouldn't have sent me life doing it. It would have been a bit of fun on the side. But they've done an entire book, apparently, which you can purchase on blurb.co.uk. We've got a link in the show notes. Yes, there are show notes. They'll be on the britishtechnetwork.com /photo, and then you can look at the relevant episode and the photo. The links to the notes will be there. It's £24.21 plus VAT. I don't want to pour scorn on this, but they're not the best pictures that you'll ever see in the world. They're just interesting textures caused by the straws. You could probably do the same kind of effect with the mosaic effect in Photoshop in 10 minutes. But that wasn't the point. I get that. But I'm not going to pay 25 quid for a book of pictures. Sorry, guys. Now, are you worried about the crop factor on your lens? Well, you don't need to be anymore because there's a new calculator there for it. Now, I've never been one much to worry about cropping factors on lenses. I can work out roughly whatever it is times 1.6 and that'll do me. I don't start to worry about the f-stop because, you know, what's one f-stop between friends? But a new calculator, mmcalc.com, is out there if you want to. Simply put in your sensor type on the left-hand side and select that. Then put in your focal length of your lens, the shortest focal length of your lens, and then put in the f-stop setting that you're going to use. So 1.8, 2.8, 3.5, just put the smallest one in. You can select, say, an APS-C Canon sensor on the left, then 50mm 1.8 lens, you put that in, and what that will actually give you is an 81mm lens with f2.92. So that's only going up one stop effectively, isn't it, to 2.8-ish. Well done. That's fine. It also does cropping factors for medium format sensors. And I've got to say, I was quite surprised at that because I didn't know that they would make that much difference. But it actually does when you put it in the thing with the 645 format sensor. It gives you an explanation as well, which is nice. So if you want to know what's happening, it'll tell you about what's happening, about the depth of field and also then the size of your image. It's the same kind of phrase though for every single lens that it's got. All it does is insert the new figures and tell you what the cropping factor is, 1.62 times increase, etc., etc. So it's interesting. Will I use it? No. Is it most important in taking pictures? Sometimes it's important, but very often it doesn't matter at all. Fill the frame with interest and shoot away. Next one then, Sony have released a new sensor for smartphones that can shoot, wait for it, at 1080p, full HD, at 1,000 frames a second. Wow. Here's a picture. Now you're going to say, oh, well, Ewan, why don't you show us the video? Well, you can go to the video. It's in the show notes. Click on it and have a watch. But this is it. 64 times super slow-mo, 960 frames per second, played back at 15 frames per second on playback. That is pretty incredible. There's several bits of video in there. There's a guy playing baseball, and there's some kids using a jump rope and a kid hitting a football, and it is startlingly good. It is incredibly good. The lighting's not the best, and it has dimmed it down a bit, which is a real problem that you get with shooting high frame stuff, is the exposure levels. But I got to say, I mean, that would correct in post, and it's nothing horrific. I'm quite impressed with it. It is a stacked CMOS sensor, usually features layers of backside illuminated pixels and a circuit layer that processes the signal. The sensor adds a third layer of high-speed DRAM to it that can process and buffer images at extra speeds. You can tell I read that, can't you? Because I have no clue what any of that means. The DRAM can read up to 19 megapixels at 1/120th of a second. So what Sony is saying is this is the fastest camera lens out there, or camera sensor out there, that you can get. Four times faster than any conventional sensor that's out in the market at all. And that said any. It didn't say phones, but this is a cell phone sensor, bear in mind. It's just great. I'm really impressed. I'm really, really impressed by this. The sooner they get this into a camera, the better. Will it actually, or into a phone, will it actually be able to sell this sensor to Apple or someone like that? Or are they just going to put it in an Xperia range, or is it going to be held off for Android? This would be something that I would jump ship for. I'd certainly perhaps carry around one of these phones SIM free or without a SIM in, just so I can shoot it using the camera, because it really is that good. Well done, chaps. Well done. Now, you've got loads of pictures everywhere of people sitting behind or not sitting behind the ropes at national parks and that kind of stuff. So that, you know, there's some famous ones of, you know, big signs saying do not go any further than this, and it's just full of people in there going up to the edge of craters and cliffs and that kind of thing. This one here is one of those instances. This is the national parks in America, and in Hawaii they've got lava spilling into the ocean. And during a boat trip called the Lava Ocean Tours, a lad named Russell Fry actually captured the collapse of a massive cliff off the edge. The USGS have given an example of what it looked like before and what it looked like after it all disappeared. And yes, there's a tripod stood there for the second one, which is really taking your life in your hands, you've got to say. If you've got a sign up that says don't go any further than this, then do watch yourself, because if you do get caught out, it's not just a fine, it's not potential imprisonment, it's the fact you could friggin' die. So do watch out. It does happen. Russell caught it. Do you remember the Super Bowl halftime? We can't not cover this as a story, but I mean, everyone who's anyone has seen this, unless you've been on Mars for the last few weeks. The halftime thing featured Lady Gaga, and she was on top of the roof, and there was a whole pile of drones then started to assemble behind her, twilights in the sky, and they formed into the US flag and had a little bit of a ripple and everything, and it was gorgeous. There's a better picture of it all. This was Intel's drone shooting star system. It's basically a drone. Each drone has a built-in LED. It weighs about 10 ounces, so it's very, very small, and can fly up to 3 meters a second. So they take a while to move around. And there's quite a lot of them, as you can see there in that picture. The show's controlled by a single pilot. Not sure how. I think that's got to be controlled by a computer. Otherwise, what's the point of Intel doing it? And there is a backup pilot on hand. Great, but that's still going to breach the regulations as they currently stand in the UK. The show can be controlled. It says Intel says that it takes weeks to create the light show, depending on how complex it may be, and their proprietary algorithms automate the animation process by using reference imaging, quickly calculating the number of drones that are needed and determining where the drones should be placed and formulating the fastest path for them to create that image in the sky without colliding with each other, I would presume. They're only small at 10 ounces, but they're still going to chop your face off if they land or float near to you. I don't know whether they got permission. I mean, they must have got permission to do this, so there you go. But I'm still dubious. I really am still dubious. Time for the gear. So, first thing then is the Pixel Play. Yes. The Pixel Play is a play camera. It's a piece of hardware that you get that's got a rubberized grip and it looks like a camera, although there's no holes in it, there's no lens in it or anything like that. There's just a hole at the front that allows your cell phone to show through, because what happens is you take your cell phone and you stick it in this and then the kids can use it like a toy camera. Because it's heavily rubberized, it gives a lot of protection, and also there is a screen on the back that closes, which gives screen protection for your camera, for your phone. It runs off, the shutter on the thing runs off a connection to your earphone socket. Yes, and as Ian's put in the document here, that's not going to be for iPhone 7 users then. There's no word about whether they're bringing out a Lightning version of this or not. It runs on Android or iOS, and there is an application to back it up. And what the application does is allows the kids to take what they've got and then put it into stickers or some kind of pack, or an inventive way of showing it, or those kind of things. It's a great fun application, I'm sure. They want $25,000, and they've got 16 of those at the day that we went to press here. It's a $25 add-on with a Kickstarter contribution. If you've got an old iPhone kicking around, then this could be pretty good. I mean, it's going to fit the 4, it's going to fit the 6, it's going to fit the 5S. Those will all run off the socket for audio. So it could be pretty good. Bryony's always going on about having my old 4, and maybe this would be something to have. And at $25, it's not going to break the bank either. The application comes free with it, so you're all right, you're laughing. Manfrotto has introduced the Zume, which is an XUME. It's a magnetic holder system that makes switching filters really, really quick and easy. So basically, it's a new filter system that features a magnetic adapter that fits and screws onto your existing lens. And then if you want to pop a filter off, you just slide it off and put the new one on. I thought, when I first read this story, I thought, wow, that's great. But there's a great point that Ian makes in the document, and he says this could be quite a costly solution, because the adapters are going to be anywhere from $10 to $35. The filters that are compatible to go onto those range from $20 to $135, and you've got one of each depending on what it is. And when you look at changing them quickly, why would you want to? You don't need to change your filters that quickly. You could screw an old one off and put a new one on. You're not going to lose anything. I mean, it's a great idea, and filters is a mess, as we've got a question later on that's going to explain that, and it really is. But I'm not sure that this solution is the right one. Maybe something that was a bit more like the Cochin filters, where you've got a square frame and then you could put a square thing on with a magnetic strip on it. That would be really good, and you could do that with your existing system as well potentially. So I'm out on this one. I like the idea. It's Manfrotto. I like Manfrotto, but would I buy it? Not sure I would. Sony has announced the G-Series 100mm f2.8 lens. This is the STF G-Master, and there's also one at 85mm as well as, which goes to 1.8mm. 1.8 f-stop, sorry. This is interesting because it's the E-mount system, which is fantastic because that fits my FS5 then, that's great. And it's a full frame, it's for all full frame cameras that have got the E-mount system. Well, the FS5 is a crop frame, so I think it fits, so I can't see that it won't. Sony, you're going to get a crop factor, don't forget, so I will have to go and use my crop calculator at MM Crop or whatever it was. The optical design is set to reduce vignetting, allegedly. One of the things that the G-Series boasts is the way in which the glass is ground. They make several passes over it, and I can't remember whether it's a milling process or whether it's a grinding process, but they reckon that effectively it'll increase the smoothness of the lens like 1,000 times. So you'd get very heavy pitting where it's ground, and you get highs and lows if you looked at it under an electron microscope. They're saying that this thing's nearly smooth when it comes out of the manufacturing process. 11 blades of aperture. There's macro switching on both lenses as well as, and it's got a built-in OS and dust weather resistance. I don't know whether it's worth it or not, because the prices, they're coming in March, the prices are, the 100mm lens is £1,500 and the 85mm lens is $600. So that's $1,500 and $600, I said pounds, sorry. Is it worth it? I'm not convinced. I'm really not convinced. I think that Sony have got their pricing badly wrong. I know they suffered with the shake down there, and they lost a lot of product in the warehouse that had the racking collapse and stuff, but I think they're taking it out on the customers too much. You know, if you get that kind of hit, you claim on insurance, you just suck it up, and then you wait and see the prices recover. But at the moment, for me, Sony stuff is incredibly expensive, and it's going to get worse with the Brexit stuff in the UK here. If you want any Sony stuff, you're going to be better off buying it from the States by a long way. Moment has come to the iPhone. It's two new cases that are via the Kickstarter project system for iPhone 7 and 7 Plus. It's one for there's one battery, there's one pack that comes that's just a photo case, that's $30, or you can get one that's got a battery pack added to it, and that's $100. They wanted half a million dollars in their goal for Kickstarter, and they're already at $292,000. Planned shipment is the end of May, which I can't see it coming that quick based on the fact that they're only halfway there. It looks good. It's got an awful lot of good things about it. The pictures that come out of it, they're really well done. I do like them. They're incredibly clean, and there's not too much distortion on the lens either, which is nice for the wide angle. It's good. It's great. $100, yes. I think $100 for a battery pack with the lens. At $100 for the lens, I think the lens is a little bit pricey. But it's not bad. It's not bad. Kickstarter there if you want it. And finally in the gear, this is the Think Tank bag. I don't need bags, Ian. I don't need bags. Please stop giving me bag links. Bloody Hobbs gave me one in the Slack room the other day. You git. I don't need it. I've got a problem with bags. I don't need it being fed by you lot. It's a new signature range. It's made from polyester and nylon. That doesn't fill you with a lot of good, does it, when you can get other stuff that's made of canvas and leather. Feels as soft as fine wool, and it's got a water repellent coating on it. It's got zippered flaps, full closure, and tucks away so that you can, it's just great. There's only one picture of it though. I can't see the inside. There's two sizes, the Signature 10 and the Signature 13. The 13 fits a laptop. I have got to say, I am desperate, absolutely desperate, for a camera bag manufacturer not to give me the option to carry a laptop. 90% of the time, I do not want a laptop in my camera bag. I want more room for my camera. If I go out to shoot with my camera, I don't want a bag for my laptop, please, on the back. And if you did, then it might mean that I could fit my video camera in there as well, which would be great. But at the moment, all of the camera bags that are out there, they're intent on you being able to carry a laptop around. I've got no interest in it. There's got to be a range available for people who don't want to carry a laptop. And I reckon I am not the only person out there who does not, actively does not want a laptop slot in their camera bag. Mark my words. Prices for these things, $249 and $279. So that's like £5 million each. You know, that's vastly overpriced for what you're getting here, chaps, I'm afraid. You're a long way off the mark. And as usual, a lot of the nice camera stuff that comes with bags that's got a nice finish to it, it's all very well and good. But that looks like faux leather to me. It doesn't look like real leather. And that looks like a piece of polyester and nylon that's been made to look like wool. So I'm sorry, chaps. Tough. I ain't paying that amount of money. And that was a gear. Time for your questions. We've only got two questions this week. If you'd like to send us a question, send it to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and I will give you an answer, I absolutely promise. No question is too big or too small to get covered. And if I don't know the answer, I'll go and look at it. I'm not the guru. I'm not the end of all knowledge on photography by far. But if you've got a question, I will do my very best to get it answered for you. First question then comes from Mike. This came via the Slack room. Light seals. Hi Ewan, I'm thinking of replacing the light sealing on an old camera. Is this a DIY job or should I leave it to an expert? I've had a few old Canons and I'm tempted to use an old Canon 7 that's got the f0.9 lens on it. I think the seal is shot though, so I'll definitely have to repair it. Thanks, Mike. Well, my point would be there, what have you got to lose, Mike? I mean, you've got this camera that is no use because it leaks light, and the worst thing you're going to do is replace the seal and it still leaks light. In which case, you could start chasing your tail a little bit there and try and find out where it is. It'd be a good little project. The thing I would say is be very, very careful when you take off the old stuff, because one of the problems with rubber is that, especially when it gets old, is when you start to touch it, it then starts to crumble and you get a lot of detritus or spill off this thing. The last thing you want is a piece of that popping down into the lens bellow and you trying to get it out and not being able to, especially if it's got a little bit of adhesive on it and it's stuck to the lens bellow, because then you're tempted to go in with something to take it out, like a pair of tweezers or something like that, and you end up running the risk of puncturing the bellows or actually getting it stick to the bellows and pulling it off and distorting the bellows. Don't do that. Make sure you cover that over with some tape or something like that first. A bit of masking tape would be fine. Then when you get it off, make sure that you use something that's plastic. Don't use metal, because you'll scratch the back, you'll reduce the adhesion of the new stuff when it goes on, and you do run the risk as well with metal, because it's very hard, that you might apply more force and end up bending the door on the back, which will solve all your light leak problems, because you'll have to throw the damn thing away then. Any of the old rubber that you take off, make sure you clean afterwards and get it right the way down to the bare metal. Take off all the old adhesive. And if you get some seal rubber that you only need stuff, that high compression stuff that's sort of 5 millimeters deep, get some of that and put it on. Measure the old stuff before you take it off and add about 30 to 50% on top of that for the size that you want for compression when you close the door. Make sure you measure it correctly, so measure twice, cut once, absolutely, and put it around the seal frame. And watch out for the hinge as well. Everyone forgets there's a seal on the hinges because the metal parts on the hinges open up. So replace that one too. I do it one at a time maybe, so replace one and see if that changes it. Or if you just think, you know, you look at it and you see it's all gone, replace it all, shove a film in, take a few shots and get them developed. Who knows? It might have done a good job, you might have not. And if you've still got a tiny bit of light leak, just chase your tail for a bit longer. I'd have a go at that. I think that sounds really interesting. Question two is from Richard Pettigrew. He says, hi Ewan and Ian, I recently bought a set of ND filters from Amazon to use on my Canon 80D with a couple of lenses. Then it struck me, what really disappointed me is that the adapter rings that came with the kit. I need one for each lens that I wanted to use, and I needed two of them because I've got two 77mm lens, but was only sent one along with the 10 others that I didn't need. Also, they stick out past the lens edges and stop you attaching your lens cover, so they're prone to damage and need to be screwed on and off every time you need to use them. Surely there has to be a more elegant solution out there. Sorry, Richard. No, there isn't. So if you want to buy neutral density filters, then you either get the square filter system, which it sounds like you've bought, where you put a circular ring and screw it onto your lens, and then the thing slides on and clips on and off, and then you get a glass slide or a perspex slide that slides in and out the front. They're okay, they're great, but like you say, you know, you get one ring that comes with it, and you can't leave it attached to your camera all the time because your lens cap won't fit back on then. And if you unscrew it and take it off, or if you want to go out with a couple of lenses and screw them on and then put them in like a holder or keep them lying out on your bag, and so you can do a quicker change of the lenses, then you're stuffed because of the fact that they haven't got two in the pack. They send you one for each millimeter size as you go up. It'd be better off if you could buy the pack and then specify the ones that you got. But these things are only about 11 quid for a set, so you know, let's not get too silly about it. And a lot of them you can pay like 20 quid and you'll get a whole set of colored gels, and you'll get a whole set of neutral density filters as well for skies and stuff like that. And they're really, really good value, and they're really good quality as well. I was gobsmacked. I got one last year and just was blown away by the quality of it. Is there a more elegant solution out there? Nope. Sorry, mate. If you want to get a neutral density filter system with a swivel top on it so that you can get it and it's for that lens, then you're going to be paying £60 to £100 for a decent neutral density filter for it. I would say that you're probably stuffed, mate. Awfully sorry. And the only problem with the circular ones that you get as well is that they're either you get a neutral density filter that covers the whole thing and then you've got to manually lift the bottom half. So you're struggling. You're really struggling. There isn't, mate. There needs to be a better solution. I think that's a really good idea, actually. Something that's like a collar that clips around your... don't say anymore. I'm onto something. If you've got a question, send it to us at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and I will try and answer it. Better than I've answered Richard's, hopefully. Yeah. We've only got two this week, so we could do with a few more by next Friday. So get your fingers typing out. Give me a question. I'll get it answered for you. Fantasy Photo League, as we said before, do come back to the Fantasy Photo League. It's britishtechnetwork@gmail.com again, and mark it as Fantasy Photo League. Send in your self images and we'll get them entered into the competition, and you might win a DSLR because we're giving away a DSLR at the end of the year for the best contribution. And you might go, oh well, I've missed a whole load anyway. It doesn't matter, because you get votes every single time. The votes don't go to every single person. There was two or three people got no votes this time. They might get votes next month, and still from people who've already got votes. And also, the more people we add, then the more votes that there are. So right at the very end of the year, if we've got enough people in the competition in December, the rest of the year may not have mattered. So you could win it just in December alone, potentially. So get those sent in. It'd be beneficial for you as well if you joined our Slack room. So send me an email asking to get into Slack, and that'll help the situation. We'll be back in next Friday, 2 o'clock for the photo show, most definitely. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.